You are listening to the Health and Wellness Connection Podcast, the number one wellness podcast designed to provide the latest information to help you achieve your health and wellness goals. Our show features exciting guests, the latest in medical research, and in-depth discussions in current trends on weight loss, nutrition, and fitness. No matter what your interest, the Health and Wellness Podcast has you covered. And now, presenting your illustrious host, Dr. Barry, MD.
Hello, 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 and thank you for listening to the Health and Wellness Connection Podcast. I want to thank you for being a faithful listener and checking us out every week on Afro Vibes Radio. But hey, if you somehow don't get a chance to check us out Thursdays, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Afro Vibes Radio, please don't hesitate to check out our podcast page. That's anchor.fm/HW Connection. That's HWCONNECTION. Again, check us out on our anchor.fm podcast page. Check out all the shows uploaded there immediately after the show airs on Afro Vibes Radio. Also, if you want to listen to the show live on Afro Vibes Radio, please download the app, afrovibesradio.com. You can download it from the website or go to your local or favorite, mobile OS app, be it Android or iPhone. Download the app on your phone today. You can stream the show as well as the awesome Afrobeat Music Collection live on your phone for free. Again, no money down, all free, all awesomeness. Do it today. Again, if you want to reach out to me personally, you can always get at me on Instagram. My name, Dr. Barry MD, DrBarryMD. Also, you can email me at drbarryhealth@gmail.com. That's Dr. Barry, DrBarryHealth@gmail.com. And last but not least, Facebook is also where we're at, posting all the shows as well as other exciting articles. Check us out at www.facebook.com/nextlevelweightloss. Again, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We love hearing from listeners. Any feedback, any even sponsorship opportunities, because we are very highly listened podcast, always looking for sponsors. Check us out if you're interested in sponsoring the show. And also, you can do it on the Anchor FM page. You can donate, become a super sponsor. We're going to get a lot of cool freebies for those people who do sign up. So check us out again. It's Dr. Barry here. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for the show. Hey guys, this is your host, Dr. Barry, here again. I want to thank you for joining us for another episode of the Health and Wellness Connection. In this whole corona pandemic madness, we actually did do an awesome show about plant-based diets and how they could potentially be beneficial for your overall health and wellness. I was very lucky to interview the amazing Dr. Judy Bragman, an accomplished physician who was also a specialist in plant-based medicine. Now, this was recorded a few weeks ago, but during the whole corona thing, we ended up having to, shelve it due to the impending corona news that was on the horizon. But I think now that, we're noticing that with this corona virus and, really helping fight the infection, one thing that's really important is a strong and healthy immune system. And, multiple studies, which we talked about recently, have shown that the vegetarian diet can help, improve your immunity, especially whole food, low processed foods, low sugar diets, high fiber can be very, very beneficial to your immune system. So I think it's very apropos that we kind of talk a little bit more about vegetarianism. And I think one of the, more popular Instagram specialists or nutritionists/clinicians who are out there is Dr. Judy Bragman. So for that reason, I'm very happy to, present to you guys this special interview I did with Dr. Judy Bragman regarding vegetarianism and actually veganism, and actually, if I should be more specific, and how it could be potentially a beneficial way to improve your overall health and wellness. So again, without further ado, it's our interview. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Peace. Hello, 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 and welcome, guys, to the Health and Wellness Connection Podcast. It's your host, Dr. Barry, here again, and I'm very excited because we have a special guest in the building today. Her name is Dr. Judy Brackman, and we actually are going to be going deeply into the concepts and topic regarding vegetarianism and vegan lifestyle, or as Dr. Brackman likes to say, a plant-based diet. Are you there, Dr. Brackman?
Hi, Dr. Barry. Hello, everyone.
How you doing? Thank you so much for joining us today. I know you're a very busy person, and like I said, you're one I consider the most popular kind of advocates for the plant-based lifestyle. And you know, we're excited you're joining us today on the show. And I wanted to ask you a couple of questions because, you know, there's a lot of people who talk to me and ask me questions regarding, you know, how to, you know, improve their health and wellness. And, you know, becoming a vegetarian or a plant-based individual has been a big topic amongst a lot of people who come to me. So I wanted to kind of, you know, have you kind of tell us some about your expertise in the area. But before we do that, tell us about your background. What led you to kind of becoming a big advocate for the plant-based lifestyle?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Bermuda, and as part of our culture or the way that our family lived was predominantly vegetarian. We didn't eat much meat or animal products. And then also being a part of the Seventh-day Adventist community, which encourages vegetarian diet as well as other healthy lifestyle habits, is something that's been deeply ingrained in me from the time I've been a child. But it wasn't until I finished residency that I started questioning about whether chronic diseases could be prevented or reversed, and I started to discover the scientific data regarding the benefits of a whole food plant-based diet, and that was in 2011. And then I started to attend different conferences, went on to get my certification in lifestyle medicine as well as in plant-based nutrition. And so I myself have been plant-based for about 5 years now.
Awesome, awesome. So that's one thing I'm so excited that you're joining us for. You joined us here today because of your expertise and your background, and because unfortunately there are a lot of people who are online promoting different health lifestyles, but really don't have the knowledge base to really safely educate people to do those things. So just, you know, I just want to thank you again for just being an advocate who's, you know, knowledgeable and actually uses research to help promote some of her concepts, as opposed to just kind of, you know other kind of non-scientific basis. So let me ask you this, Dr. Brackman. So I know you've been doing the plant-based kind of advocacy and really talking about, you know, the importance of it. But how would you say that it's influenced or kind of modified your medical practice? I know, I know one thing that as a physician, you know, there's not a lot of nutrition education in the Western curriculum for medical students. And tell me about how you were able to kind of use some of your medical degree background, if it really played a role significantly actually in helping you create your practice and your overall ethos, if you will, regarding, you know, plant-based medicine and plant-based health.
Yeah, so medical degree has taught us how to study the data, you know, read the research articles, kind of analyze it. And so that kind of has given me the background, the confidence to be able to recommend XYZ, you know, this diet over that diet or whatnot. And there's definitely a void in allopathic medicine or Western medicine, a void in nutrition, holistic kind of ways of practicing. And with right now, the way that society is going, there's a demand for that. People are looking for a doctor who's interested and open to plant-based nutrition, and they're also looking for someone who's more holistic-minded, who's not just gonna prescribe them prescription after prescription and just, you know, keep it at that. So with my knowledge and having personal knowledge of people who have been able to significantly improve their diabetes and high blood pressure, and some of them have been able to reverse it and come and stay off medications, I'm confident in using diet sort of as a prescription. So instead of just prescribing metformin for diabetes, for example, diet is all a part of it, because medications can only do so much. If the diet is poor, what's going to happen is that the condition is going to continue to get worse, and that's when we have to keep adding more and more medications. So food, which is something that we all do quite often, 3 times a day, it has to be a part of the treatment plan. So that's what makes me different than traditional physicians, or even, you know, the way that I was trained, because I always talk about food with every single patient. Even if it's brief, I always emphasize the importance of eating vegetables.
No, that's one thing, and I'm so happy you said that, because one thing that we as physicians, and in general the medical community, doesn't really emphasize enough is the importance of food and how food is literally medicine. People kind of forget the idea that food is eat whatever you want, and you take medicine to fix some of the bad food you've been eating and what it's doing to your body. When in reality, food is actually should be on the same level as medicine, because it's technically the building blocks for, you know, your body to help create new cells, as well as, you know, provide you energy, provide you nutrition. So you want to make sure you're consuming foods that are going to give your body the best bang for the buck, if you will. And plants and plant-based are excellent way to do that. And let me ask you another question, doctor. You mentioned that you grew up in a Seventh-day Adventist household. Like I said, that's news to me, is regarding their focus on holistic lifestyle and vegetarianism. Tell me, in your opinion, do you think that, let me ask you this, because it seems like, you know, the whole vegetarianism is not really a new thing. It's been around for centuries. Many cultures have been promoting it. Why in your opinion, you think that it's not been, you know, so kind of, it's only becoming more mainstream nowadays, especially in America and other kind of Western societies, as opposed to, you know, these small groups who've really been kind of talking about it, but it really didn't adopt or become a mainstream concept until recently. What do you think is the reason behind that?
I think people are looking for something different and something new. And there's a growing distrust, I feel, with the medical community, even a distrust of physicians. And so people are wanting to take their health in their own hands. And so they're seeing that diet is a way that they can do that. And it just so happens that right now, plant-based diet is trendy. Will it go off trend at some point? I don't know. But I'm excited that it's on trend now, because at least people are open to it. Whereas 10 years ago, if you were to tell someone that you were vegan or plant-based, they may be like, what is that?
No,
but then they'll be more likely to be less open to it.
Before you almost get ridiculed, like, oh my God, you're a tea hugger, you're. All right, hello, and welcome back, guys, to the Health and Wellness Connection podcast. This is your host, Dr. Barry, here again, and we are still here with special guest Dr. Judy Bragman, aka the Plant Based MD on Instagram. You still there with us, Judy?
Yes, I'm still here.
Awesome. So yes, so we were talking before the break about some of the foods that are kind of been in the media due to the whole movement to promote vegetarianism and so forth, like the plant-based meats. But let's talk about soy briefly, because soy is something that's also been really discussed at length between folks, because we all know soy is a plant-based food based off the soybean. It's used very commonly in helping promote more protein-based food sources amongst vegetarians. But there's a lot of concern about it affecting the estrogen levels in certain individuals. What is your opinion on soy and its effect on our bodies as far as it relates to estrogen? And is it safe for someone like a man to consume, or even for females? Like, what are you thinking? What are your thoughts on soy and its overall, you know, place?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a lot of opinion on that on both sides. There's some people that are adamantly against it, and there are some people that are for it. Mm-hmm. I looked into that, did like a literature review, and didn't really find any strong data to say that eating soy is bad. The studies that I did find that showed some effect of soy, they were eating maybe 13 servings or something like that of soy a day. Okay. But typically, if you're eating less than 2 or 3 a day, 3 at the most, you're going to be fine. You're not going to have feminization or anything like that, which is a concern. But I tell people also, soy technically is processed, right? It's not the pure form of the bean. Yeah. Best form is going to be to eat beans itself.
Okay.
But tofu gives you an alternative for something different, a different texture. So I use it as a protein. But if someone's like, under no circumstances am I going to eat tofu, that's fine, because tofu does not have to be a part of a healthy diet. It can be. But people can safely consume soy without worrying about estrogen.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. What are some of your favorite sources of protein? as someone who wants to keep a vegetarian lifestyle, is there a certain like food, especially, you know, beans, legumes, or any kind of certain that has a great, you know, profile of nutrients and health benefits that you would say is something that people should consider regarding their diets?
I like to use beans. I use them raw, or I buy them out of the can. Mm-hmm. And they're packed with protein, they're packed with fiber, and I try and eat those once a day.
Okay.
And recommend that people do incorporate beans into their diet on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. You can also make patties. You can make a burger out of beans. That's going to be better than the Beyond Meat or Impossible burgers. Okay. And then I do use tofu probably about 3-4 times a week.
Okay.
I usually saute it or do it in the oven.
Interesting. Well, that goes actually to my next question, because it seems like if you want to be a successful vegan, you really have to learn how to cook or know how to cook. So what do you say to my listeners who are, or just anyone who wants to do more vegetarian style lifestyle, but they can't really cook very well? Are they just forced to be eating raw vegetables like apples and oranges, mm-hmm. and so forth? Or what are their options as far as how they can, you know, get more delicious vegan options or vegetarian options in their diet?
Yes, I think a part of any healthy diet is going to involve cooking. Okay. Because if you're eating out, chances are it has more sodium in it, and you don't know what they're putting in your food. Whereas if you're cooking, I think of cooking as kind of like a labor of love. You know, you go to the grocery store, you pick a good, nutritious food, and then you come home and eat it and cook it. And it could be like an activity that the family does together. So you have to cook if you want to eat healthier. And it's actually cheaper to cook your own food than it is to be going out all the time. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say that eating healthy is expensive, or eating plant-based is expensive. But it doesn't have to be. If you go to the markets to get produce, mm-hmm. you can go to discount grocery stores like Aldi, Walmart. Mm-hmm. You can even buy frozen vegetables and do that. But really, eating out is not something that should be a large portion of where our meals are coming from.
Okay, no, I'm glad you said that, because one thing I will say is that, you know, I've been to some very excellent vegan restaurants. I think I remember I was in New Orleans recently. I went to one place called Seed, excellent place, and they had some delicious options. But one thing I will say, though, is most of these, you know, restaurants that do specialize in vegan options can be quite a little pricey, I will say. And I know
they're expensive.
Yeah, and that can be a little, and I don't know if that's because of the labor required to really create some of these foods that are truly vegan, and, you know, I guess they're designed to mimic non-vegan counterparts. But yeah, I could definitely, you know, I definitely hear some of the complaints about, oh yeah, you know, veganism is cool, but, you know, I can't afford it. You know, I'd rather just, you know, eat what's available because of my budget. And I think, you know, the whole point of the cooking thing is that if you really want to do it correctly and not spend a whole lot of money, you really have to cook. And I think that, you know, that's one thing I do appreciate about you, because you do promote like different recipes, telling people how to kind of, you know, really create, you know, affordable, delicious options, you know, in your own kitchens, or at least, you know, inspire folks to let them know, you know, ways they can kind of combine different foods. And like, what have you seen as far as your patients? I mean, are you, you know, talking to your clients and patients about cooking and telling them ways they can kind of prepare meals, or the resources you're directing them to help them kind of, you know, improve their, you know, I guess, you know, their ability to cook those meals themselves? Like, what are some of the options out there, or the good sources for people who are interested in cooking and learning more how to prepare those meals themselves?
It all depends on how much time they have, how interested and motivated they are. I have a variety of different books, handouts. I have different websites that I use, a recipe website that your listeners may be interested in is Forks Over Knives.
Okay,
I've heard about that. Sweet Potato Soul. Those are my two favorite sources for recipes. And I just encourage people to be creative. Whatever meal that you have that is usually with meat or dairy, mm-hmm. you can substitute it for a vegan option. It may just take a little bit of creativity, but Google is like your friend for recipes. Definitely. You can look up different things and pretty much find anything that you want to make, and just don't be afraid to experiment. Mm-hmm. You don't have to follow the recipe strictly. You can change it up however you want when it comes to making meals.
Let me ask you this, just a quick question. What is your favorite non-dairy based milk, if you have one?
Yes, I like Califia Farms.
Califia Farms, is that, I mean, they make, I think, coconut milk? Or what kind of?
That's the brand. They make coconut milk, they make an almond milk, and they make a Bix. Califia, C-A-L-I-F-I-A.
Okay,
Califia. And it's a bit more expensive. It's kind of like $4.
Okay.
But I think that that one has the richest flavor.
Okay.
And not watery like some of them, because I used to use a different brand. I can't remember what it was called.
I was going to refer to the source, like almond milk versus cashew milk, oat milk, like a general kind of milk substitute. The brands are cool too, but is there like a general kind of milk, you know, that you would recommend as far as flavor, taste, or are they all different as far as how you want to use them and where they benefit or have their best uses? Like, for instance, someone wants to replace this dairy milk. They want to start, you know, I'm going to start using this kind of milk versus dairy to see how, you know, if I can do that switch.
So what's a good starter milk,
instead of
using cow's milk?
Exactly.
I think almond milk is great.
Okay, yeah. I'm a fan of that. I was just curious if there's other milks that are, you know, also good and maybe good alternatives for those who are interested in doing something different as far as milk is concerned. But yeah, I'm a fan of almond milk.
There's so many different milks now. There's oat milk, soy milk, rice milk, hemp milk, macadamia nut. Macadamia nut milk is nice. It's richer. Mm. It's rich, too, and it has a good flavor. I like that one, too. That and almond milk.
Yeah, we did a whole show on milks, like, last year. So it was kind of interesting seeing all the different milk options. And I think almond milk is probably my favorite. But there's definitely a lot of different alternatives for those who are interested in trying to do some sort of non-dairy option. So great. So let me ask you this now. We're going to talk more about kind of the social media kind of world again. And more so, like we said, veganism or plant-based health is really in the mainstream now. You see a lot of celebrities kind of talking about their journey and becoming a vegan. And, you know, and there's unfortunately because of the, you know, the internet and how everyone can kind of say whatever on it. There's been, I think, some misinformation out there and people who are doing things that may not be safe. And I say this because a good example was, Jaden Smith, who's, son of Will Smith, recently was found to be anemic and in poor health. And people are blaming his vegan lifestyle. Now, I'm sure they didn't use someone like yourself to help them create their diet. But what do you think is like some of the issues that, you know, people who are trying to be vegan and they're not maybe not doing it safely? You know, what are some of the ways that we can kind of, you know, prevent that? Like, what do you think are some of the reasons behind that, and how can we prevent those kind of things from happening?
So you can be anemic on any diet. Vegans, vegetarians don't have a higher incidence of anemia.
Okay.
So that's, I think, one misconception that some people have, that if you stop eating meat, you're going to be iron deficient. The only vitamin or nutrient, so to say, that you're not going to get in a vegan diet is vitamin
B12. Yeah.
So we do need a supplement that's the only one.
So we definitely, if you're on a truly vegan diet, you probably should be taking supplements, be it B12 at the very least, and maybe you think iron is probably not necessary if you're eating a truly balanced meal, I guess, regarding
B12 is the only vitamin that vegans definitely need to take.
Okay.
The other vitamins, I would apply to any person, whether they're vegan, vegetarian, or not. Iron, vitamin D, are low in people that aren't vegetarian, that aren't vegan. So depending on a person's family history and what other medications they're on, if they're on certain medications, they could actually have impaired absorption of vitamin B12. And vitamin D deficiency, that's not exclusive to vegans or vegetarians either.
No.
So
no, I wouldn't say it was exclusive to them, but I guess.
People tend to think it is. People think of vegan diet, they tend to think of, oh, it's going to be deficient in certain vitamins and nutrients. And I think that's just the way we've been conditioned to think that our bodies are going to be deficient if we don't eat meat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about those who are interested in putting on mass, like, who are maybe weight training and they want to gain mass, but they don't want to really eat a whole lot of beef and chicken? Is there any advice you have for those kind of individuals to help them kind of, keep their calorie counts and bulk up and do it in a way that's compatible with a plant-based lifestyle? Is there any certain foods that you would say? I know you mentioned beans, seemed like that would be a good one, but.
So people that are athletes and that are trying to build weight, eat more protein than the average person, and they tend to eat more protein sources, beans, soy, whatnot. But the average person doesn't need to count how much protein they're getting. The average person gets more than enough protein. There are also hemp seeds, chia seeds, nuts. There's so many good sources of plant-based proteins that if you mix it up during the day, you will easily get how much protein that you need to get in a day.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. So great. And just one more question. We're like approaching the end of the show here. Just want to ask you regarding your thoughts on the whole concept behind the plant-based diet kind of going forward. Do you think it's going to be, you know, right now it's trending. A lot of things, a lot of people are talking about it. Celebrities are commenting on it. Do you think this this whole movement has legs? Do you think it's going to be something we're going to be talking about for 20 years? Going to be a part of the overall, you know, lifestyle here in America? What's your opinions on the whole future of veganism? Or I should say the plant-based diet. I mean, I keep saying veganism. That's what I've been so trained on saying over and over again.
I think that it's going to continue to grow as people start to experience the health benefits of it, and then they share that information with other people. Let's say they experience weight loss, or they're able to come down on some medications or come off medications. I think that is a selling point for a lot of people. I think 20 years, when we look back, we're going to say, I can't believe that people were eating, you know, all that processed food and all that meat. That's what I think is going to happen. You're right.
But on the flip side, if everyone adopts a vegan or plant-based lifestyle and people start living longer, do we then have to worry about the planet being overpopulated? What are your thoughts?
That's a good question. The planet overpopulated. That's an ideal situation. I suppose it would be
create another world dilemma for everyone. Too many people. They're already claiming there's too many people already on Earth. So it is kind of funny how thinking about how people get healthy. Yeah. Will everyone really be happy, or will that be some people upset? Interesting. But no, that's
But then there will be something else that will come up that will be causing mortality.
Exactly. So either way, so again, we're approaching the end of the show. I just want to thank you, Dr. Judy, for just joining us today and really kind of shedding some light on the whole concept of the plant-based lifestyle. You know, we're going to be hopefully talking to you sometime in the future, just to kind of get more information as we kind of see new trends in the plant-based sphere. And, you know, hopefully we can ask you to weigh in and kind of help educate us regarding, you know, ways we can move smarter and healthier in 2020. Anything else you want to add? You want to shout out your socials or kind of all the things you're involved in, or where people can find you if they want to learn more and maybe get consultants, get a, you know, consult from you?
Yes, I'm on social media, Instagram, Facebook, the Plant-Based MD. And I also recently started my lifestyle medicine practice, where people can see me and work on being healthier, becoming healthier, taking less medications. And the name of that is Newell Health. And the website is mynewellhealth.com. And we're also on Facebook and Instagram at Newell Health, N-E-W-E-L-L. So reach out to me and get in touch.
Awesome. Awesome. So thank you so much for joining us today. You guys reach out to Dr. Judy. You can also reach out to us, and we will kind of, you know, forward you to her if you want to get more information regarding her practice and you want to just talk to her and get some knowledge. So thank you for joining us, guys. This is Dr. Barry here. Thank you, Dr. Judy, for joining us as well. We are signing out, and hopefully we'll see you guys on the next show. Again, Dr. Barry from the Health and Wellness Connection. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Health and Wellness Podcast. For more info, check us out on Facebook at www.facebook.com/nextlevelweightloss. Our show can also be found on SoundCloud at www.soundcloud.com/HW Connection. Lastly, for any inquiries, email us at drbarryhealth@gmail.com. Until next time.